What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Evolve You podcast. I am your host, Dr. Brian McElderry, holistic life and business coach, speaker, author, podcaster. So grateful for each of you that are on our episode today. If you're a first-time listener, welcome onto the platform. If you're coming here and you're already excited to listen to today's guest because you've already seen who is going to be on our podcast today, go ahead, if you haven't done so already, revert back to our previous episodes, check out what we have recorded already, either solo or we had amazing guests onto our podcast here that you can benefit from in some manner. If you're a returning guest, thank you so much for your continued support. If you've not done so already, the only investment that we ask, we don't have any ads running here on this podcast just of yet. We're approaching our 100th plus episode. If you're connecting now on our 100th episode, congratulations, you have been a part of the family and we appreciate you so much. So go ahead and please do rate and review on Apple iTunes, Apple Podcasts. If you don't know how to do that, you're more than welcome to email down in the show notes because some people are just not technologically savvy and that's okay. We appreciate you. And before we do anything, as I always say, you are here for a reason, you're here on purpose, and hopefully this can help you evolve in the best version of yourself through health, business, and personal development. Without further ado, we have an amazing guest, and I know every time I do a guest episode, everyone that's listening is like, Brian, you say everyone's amazing. I'm like, yes, that's true. I would not say so if it wasn't true, so appreciate you so much for our guest that is on today, and his time is so much valued, and we're going to have an amazing conversation here for you today, and without further ado, I'll introduce him really quick. It's Justin Atherton. What's going on, Justin?
How's it going, Brian? I'm super excited to be here, man. I know you and I have had a couple conversations already, so I'm excited to share this with your audience, man.
Love it, love it, love it. So I'm going to do a quick introduction, and then we're going to have a conversation. All my guests, we just have a healthy conversation. We go with the flow, and it always seems to be really good with the listenership. So in dealing with the countless high-stress and volatile situation, Justin learned that integrity in every aspect is the most important factor in whether a man succeeds or fails. With over 14 years of law experience in SWAT, investigations, officer training, and leadership roles, Justin developed and shared tactics and techniques that help forge the next generation of leaders. After departing on the SWAT team, he launched his new program in business, Confidence Unchained, really a company that teaches these same leadership principles to men from any walk of life. But if you're a woman here, we want to make you feel welcome because we're going to have conversations that could equip you specifically as well. So just not for my men, this is for my women as well that are listening, like how could this benefit me? We're going to have a healthy conversation around that. From business owners, CEOs, and entrepreneurs, Justin has helped men across a broad range of industries build their own peak performance and regain their edge. Now dealing the mindset and principles that enable detectives and SWAT teams to accomplish the most difficult missions, Confidence Unchained shows how to apply them in men, family, or organizations. The three pillars of his programs are mental toughness, emotional fortitude, and health consciousness. So let's stop right there because I don't want to give him too much, Justin. Let's go ahead and dive in to this conversation. And really how I always start off my guests is really just introducing yourself from your perspective. And then we'll go into a question format and then just have conversation there. So I'd love to just have a version of your story from you.
Sure. And it's hard to add to that one. I need to get a shorter one, Brian. You got the long one over there. But no, I appreciate the intro. Adding to that, really, training is where I found my passion, you know, through my career. That's what motivated me to want to, you know, start my business and work with people one-on-one. And it's something that it transcends every part of our lives because the same tools and techniques that I teach men to help them succeed are the same things that I teach my daughter. They're the same things that I pass on to my friends and family. Anyone that I can pass on this knowledge to, it's almost like I have an obligation to do this. And there's nothing more rewarding than seeing a huge change in someone's life just by having a handful of conversations with them. So that's what's motivated me to start my business and to have all these great conversations. So I'm excited to be on the show with you. And I know this is going to be packed with value on my end and your end as well, Brian. I love listening to you talk as well, man.
Love it, love it, love it. So guys, we actually met on this new Clubhouse platform. If you're not familiar with Clubhouse, I haven't mentioned it on my podcast just yet, but it's an amazing connection platform. I had some skepticism at first just because it was a new social platform and whatnot, but obviously this has rendered Justin and I to have this conversation. So the first kind of topic I would love to go with, Justin, is really people's story. And, you know, some people heard that, oh, wow, he's a SWAT detective. Former SWAT detective, like, how was that like? You know, I'm so intrigued by the show SWAT and CSIs, and I know maybe some listeners are here. Can you talk just a little bit about that, and then we can go a little bit deeper in how we came into Confidence Unchained?
Yeah, well, I'll separate the two, because being on the SWAT team and being a detective were two separate different things. But
there we go.
Both were goals of mine, you know, once I got into law enforcement, because I started in the prison system and I was working in gang intelligence, and I got to a point where I was trying to figure out people. It was the human psychology is what really interests me, and getting to, you know, the truthful, accurate, detailed information that people have. And there's so many things I've learned in each role that I took on, whether it was in a leadership role, a supervisor role, being on the SWAT team. I think the biggest things that I got away from that was, number one, working in a team dynamic, but also learning to use fear as a fuel. Because so many times people want to stay away from this idea of, like, oh, I don't want to be afraid. I don't want to be anxious. I don't want to be worried. And the truth about it is, the more you resist those emotions, the more they take hold of you, and the more that they kick back and they're like, hey, pay attention to me. Because that's how our brains work. Our bodies work. We have these physiological sensations. And as soon as you acknowledge it and say, yeah, I am worried about this here, I am scared about this here, you can then use it as fuel to act rather than as a barrier of action. So I would say that's the number one thing I learned from being on the SWAT team is how to manage those emotions and acknowledge them and then use them as fuel to accomplish whatever task that I set out for.
Interesting. That ties into the listenership maybe that may be asking, okay, I am scared. I am fearful of just my daily life, about what's happened in the past year, about what's to come for me in the future. What do you maybe coach your clients on, or even learning in SWAT, those tactics to really leverage that fear? Why do you feel like people can't leverage the fear? Because it's something that you really hone in on your coaching, right? Is the fear portion and how to overcome that.
So I think it's, you know, societal based. We don't want to acknowledge fear, especially for men. Men have a lot harder time acknowledging fear, because the idea is that we're weak, or we're broken, or I can't accomplish this task. But regardless, men or women, we all experience this fear on a regular basis. Like, this drives a lot of our decisions or indecision.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, what if I fail? What if I don't accomplish this? What are people going to say? All of that is fear driven. And it's like, I'm afraid of the consequences of failing. I'm afraid what someone might think about me. And so when you actually acknowledge it and go, okay, I'm afraid, you know, that people are going to criticize me. And then you can look at that and go, okay, can I change that? Can I change that people criticize me? No, you can't. Can I remove myself from the situation? Possibly. You could possibly, you know, restrict the people that are privy to the knowledge of your failure. And then the last part is really, do I just have to accept it? And most of the time, that's what we have to do, because if we cannot change it, if we can't remove ourselves from the situation, then it's there. And then we just have to deal with it. And that's a very simple thing. Like I said, I pass these tools to my daughter. Yeah. So when she's dealing with a tough situation, and I'll go, okay, what are the three questions you need to ask yourself? She'll skip to the end. She's like, I just have to accept it. And I laugh at her. I'm like, well, hang on. You guys are fast forwarding there. Let's go back. Can we change it? She's like, well, no, we can't change it. I was like, can we remove ourselves from the situation? She's like, we could, but I still want to continue on with this, whatever this project is. I could quit, but I don't want to. So she's like, I just have to accept that, you know, this is the process and this is how it's going to be. So
Yeah. I love that three-step process. And if you guys missed that, it's really acknowledging, as you said, that there is something there, that you do have an emotional connection with whatever's going on. You're angry, you're fearful, you feel like you're not worthy. There's doubts coming in, all things creeping in, then asking yourself, what can I do? Right? It's like the actionable step of what can I do about it in the moment? And then moving forward to that letting go, the release of, I can't do anything. So I have to accept. And that doesn't mean that you agree necessarily, exactly. Right? It's like agreeing to disagree that it is, quote unquote, it is what it is, right? Which I hate that term.
But I do hate that. I do hate that awful term. But that's what it is. And I like that you pointed that distinction out, because mm-hmm. you don't have to agree or condone with the circumstances that are in front of you.
Yeah.
But sometimes you just have to acknowledge that you can't change it and you can't, you know, separate yourself from the situation. So you have to push through this. You will have to endure whatever's going on here. I use a really simple example. I think this was the first time that I really, you know, expressed this to my daughter. We were en route to a party and we were stuck in some horrible, horrible traffic. And she's getting upset because she's like, we're going to be late. And I'm like, oh, this is the moment that I can bring this up, right? So I'm like, okay, let's talk this out. Cause I mean, it was a dead stop. And I was like, can we change anything about this traffic? She's like, maybe we could find another route. I'm like, you're right. I tried that. It didn't work. I think it actually made it worse that I left the freeway and got back on. So we couldn't really change it. I'm like, can we remove ourselves from the situation? She's like, why? I guess we could go home, but I don't want to. I'm like, you're right. We could turn around, mm-hmm. remove ourselves from the traffic and just say, screw it. We're out. We're not going to make it. And just turn around and say, I quit. Yeah. And that's easy. Right. And so the last part, I'm like, what else can we do? She's like, just sit here and see how long it takes. We didn't like it. Yeah. We didn't want to be there. You know, we didn't accept it. We didn't approve of what's going on, but we have to accept it for what it is. And then it's like, well, how do we make the best of it? So like her and I don't know if we start playing games in the car or just singing songs, whatever it was, when you realize that, hey, this is the circumstances that I have to deal with. Now you get to look at it and go, how can I make this as positive or as pleasant as possible? It may not be an optimal circumstance, but you get to look at it and go, all right, these are the parameters that I get to deal with. How can I make the best of this situation so I'm not miserable the whole time that I'm pushing through this?
Wow. Something that came up, a word that came up for you that you just spoke of was endurance. And it tied into people's willingness and ability to endure what's going on. And, you know, maybe your training helped with that, with being a detective and having to be patient on what's coming and gathering all the tools and even the SWAT training. But now even just in personal development and human psychology, how do you train your mind to just endure and be patient and to be willing to understand that the work that you are doing is going to produce an outcome? Because a lot of people they're in this microwave society, and maybe even the men that you work with, they're like, why isn't this working? And they get frustrated and the emotions build up and all those things.
I think a lot of it has to do with the self-awareness.
Yeah.
And realizing when these emotions do come up, because just because I know these tips and tools and techniques, it doesn't mean that I'm not subject to them as well. Mm-hmm. You know, like my emotions still come up and I have to go, oh, there it is. Okay. I see what's happening. The machinery that's running behind the scenes that we all have, recognize it, acknowledge it, go, no, thanks. I don't want to deal with that aspect of my ego right now that's chiming in, and turn it off and make a conscious decision. So it really takes a higher level of self-awareness to understand what's going on behind the scenes in your own mind. And then you get to make a conscious decision. It's the difference between reacting and responding. because a reaction is just you have an emotion and you act or you blurt something out. You didn't think about it. It just came out. There's no filter. You know, we all know people that don't have a filter when they speak, yes, right? So that's them reacting to a situation or a stimuli in their environment rather than someone says something, maybe some Brian tells me an insult and I'm like, oh, that made me angry. Do I want to react and lash out or do I want to take a breath and go, okay, well, what makes you say that, Brian, you know, and respond or go, oh, I disagree with what you just stated there.
Yeah.
So there's a huge distinction between reacting and responding, but it really goes back to having a higher level of self-awareness.
No, that's good. That's good. We had a conversation on Clubhouse and I had to pull over here to really go over this with the listenership and the audience here listening right now, because I think it was so important and you just alluded to it there, which was really conflict and understanding how to respond and react accordingly. We've all dealt with conflict and it's not conducive or productive to the outcome that we want.
Sure.
How would you advise people to handle conflict? So they're self-aware, they've gotten that piece, they try to be more, the four steps of emotional intelligence, they try to get down to the self-management of like, okay, like, what do I do? And then they get to interacting with other people. What is your process of conflict management?
So there's a couple ways to look at this. And my favorite way, and I'm not going to say that this is an easy thing. This is a difficult approach to handling conflict. We have to be able to learn something from every interaction that we're in, especially the ones that are in high conflict. I had a coach of mine. Yes, coaches have coaches. That's a whole different conversation. Yeah. But yes. So I had a coach of mine. I was talking to him, and I was trying to resolve some things that were happening between me and my ex-wife. And we were having a conversation, and he told me, he said, Justin, your ex-wife is your greatest teacher. And it hit me like a brick in the face. Like I felt the disgust and the contempt on my own face when he said that. Cause I was like, no, I was like, I don't want that. He's like, what are you talking about? And then I sat there for like 10 seconds and I was like, oh, you're right. Because every time I get to interact with her, it's another opportunity for me to grow. It's another opportunity for me to practice the skill sets and these techniques. And there is no one else on this planet that can push my buttons like my ex-wife does. And so that is my ultimate teacher, every interaction that I have with her. And so it would not suit me to avoid those conflicts, those conversations that are hard. And that's what most people do. They shy away from conflict. They shy away from hard conversations. But really, those are the moments in your life that you're being tested. And you get to practice this stuff. And it's like putting these to work. Because all of these soft skills, anybody that's ever researched emotional intelligence, all of these soft skills are diminishing. Which means if you do not use them on a regular basis, you will lose the ability to use them effectively. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's not like riding a bike. You learn it once and you can just hop on it 20 years later. That's not how it works. So conflict, we have to lean into that. And instead of shying away from it, because it's really going to sharpen your edge to stay in those moments of conflict. And man, there's so many different ways to look at conflict in a positive way.
Yeah. Sometimes ego can step in when there's conflict, specifically for men, and even maybe masculine energetic women as well. So there's a lot of strong women out there right now and even maybe listening right now that, you know, have this ego and pride about them that, you know, if someone offended them or they're having unhealthy conflict, they're removing themselves from the situation and they aren't able to communicate effectively. You mentioned something very interesting on our Clubhouse room that, again, bringing some things over here about how people listen, how people responding, you were kind of going into this mirroring technique. And I know I do it in NLP, but can you talk about that just a little bit? Is how can someone with very masculine energy, so if it was a man that was listening right now or a very masculine woman that just has this pride and ego, how can they better effectively communicate in conflict because they just want to lash out or either suppress that energy?
Yeah, I think those are two separate things to talk mm-hmm. about there, the mirroring yes. and then, you know, the what we call the masculine energy. It's an interesting topic because there's the idea of toxic masculinity and whatnot. And, you know, I struggle with this because the general idea from that a lot of men take away is that it's bad to be a man. It's toxic to be a man. I'm not allowed to be manly.
Yeah, yeah.
And really what it is, it's like, don't be a jerk. Like, be who you are because, you know, certain men have a more masculine energy and certain men don't. Don't change your energy based on what you think society wants or based on what you think, you know, your group of friends wants. Be yourself, be authentic. That is one of my values, is authenticity. I am going to be myself regardless. I'm not fitting to anybody's mold. I'm not going to act a specific way because someone says so. But it's the toxic part. It really just comes back to being unable to handle your emotions. And that self-awareness. So if someone does insult you, you're going to feel it. Like that emotion, there is going to be an emotional trigger. And so I think people believe that the emotions are them. They have this deep connection with their emotions rather than having like a bird's eye view of your emotional state. Because I laugh at myself, especially like if I end up, on camera, on video, and someone says something and I see the flash of emotion on myself, it makes me laugh because I'm like, ooh, there it was. I'm like, it did trigger an emotion. And then you see me kind of take a moment and then respond.
Yeah.
And so regardless of if it's men or women, and I think men are more prone to it because men have a lower emotional vocabulary. So they aren't able to process their emotions as quickly as women are. So I disagree with the toxic masculinity idea. Mm-hmm. I think it really just comes down to just, are you being a jerk or not, regardless of if you're a man or a woman. And so that it's really about managing yourself and building that emotional vocabulary so you can quickly process your emotions. You're never going to get to a state to where emotions don't get triggered. That's just not there. I used to believe that I was in that state. Like 10 years ago, I remember going, I let zero emotions slip out.
Yeah.
I'm like, I am in full control of my emotions. And if I ever let one slip out, if I was ever sad or angry, I'd kick myself and be like, man, I messed up. I let that emotion slip out and I didn't want it to. And I let it take control. Now I laugh. Now I look back and laugh at how ignorant I was on the science in the physiological responses that your body is having during those emotions. We cannot control what our body feels during those emotions. We cannot control the emotions from coming up. They come up on our subconscious and they last really less than 6 seconds.
Yeah.
The emotion, especially the expression on the face. When I teach micro expressions, it's a quarter of a second to about 1/25 of a second that there's a flash of an emotion on a face. So it's a very short time frame, and you actually feel emotions in your body before you cognitively recognize that an emotion is being processed. So there's so much science behind it that once you really grab a hold of the science, I think that hits home for men more often. It's like, oh, there's science. Oh,
exactly. There's facts behind this.
It's not just, not flowers and tree hugging. Like there's actual science behind this stuff. Mm-hmm. That's what led me to get behind it. And now when I teach it to other men, there is a barrier because, you know, when I get up in front of a class, it may be 90% men and I'll walk in and be like, all right, today we're going to talk about emotions. And they look at me like I'm crazy. They're like, hey, you're in the wrong room, buddy. Like, you need to go down the hall. We don't talk about emotions in here. And I laugh. I mean, luckily, you know, I have a little bit of street cred, like you said, being former SWAT, being former detective. I'm a larger man. I'm 6'3", 245. Exactly. So if I step in and I go, hey, I'm going to talk about emotions. And they're like, well, all right, if Justin can talk about emotions, maybe we can talk about emotions too.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
maybe I get a little bit of extra street cred when I walk into a group of men with that. But maybe the science behind it is something that men can grab onto a little bit more. But we can go into the mirroring stuff too if you want.
Yeah, I would love to. I would love to. I think the communication factor of how people communicate and how they can gain rapport from people who communicate differently, that skill set can be built. And you know, maybe some just don't know how to do it, but maybe they're innately doing it. They just don't recognize it. Can you speak on that a little bit?
Sure. And there's different forms of mirroring, because you can mirror body language. And, and if you pay attention to people, for those of you out there that like to people watch, you can pick up on people that are mirroring each other's body language. And the more that people are more closely aligned in their body language, the better that relationship, the better that conversation is occurring at that moment. Mm-hmm. If you've ever seen people where one person is talking to the person facing them and the other person's kind of facing away this way, there's something going, that person wants to leave. That person is not enjoying the conversation that's happening. So
exactly.
I pay a lot of attention to the body language, but that's different than mirroring language. So there's a couple factors here. So the first one I would say is that we all process information in three ways, either visual, auditory, or kinesthetic. We'll leave the olfactory out of it, but those are the three main ones. And we each have a primary way that we process information. 60% of people are visual, 20% of people are auditory. I'm one of the 20% auditory, and 15% are kinesthetic. That bonus 5% equally processes information in all three ways. And again, bringing up my daughter, I think she's in there. I've been trying to pinpoint where she processes information, but it's all three. And I'm like, good for her. Great. If that's it, awesome. I am 100% auditory. If you tell me something, Brian, it's locked in. I'm not going to forget it. I'm going to remember a conversation we had 4 months ago. I'm going to remember where we were at, when it happened. So for me, you know, I'm an auditory processor. So with that in mind, I will use words such as, you know, do you hear what I'm saying, Brian? Like, I hear you. Are you listening to me? Those are the words that I use because I'm auditory. Whereas someone that's more visual saying, hey, do you see what I mean? Is this clear to you? How does this look? And I think this did come up on Clubhouse where kinesthetic is like, do you feel me?
Exactly.
You know, are you picking up what I'm putting down? You know, like those type of things, like people that are hands-on or more emotional, you know, that they feel it rather than, you know, perceiving it visually or auditory. And so when you're having conversations with people, when you're paying attention closely to what other people are saying, like Brian, if I start hearing words with you that you're kinesthetic, I'm going to shift the words that I use, because especially if I'm trying to build rapport, if I'm trying to get on the same wavelength, maybe we're in a negotiation, I'm going to change my verbiage to what you use. So if you say, yeah, I feel this. Yeah. Like, yeah, I feel what's going on. I want to touch that. I'm going to change my verbiage to meet that and shift my words to be more kinesthetic. Now what that does it in subconsciously, your brain is going to be like, oh, we are more alike. So automatically more rapport is being built. So that's one version of mirroring language. Another one would be specific keywords or pronouns. Because of Brian, if you're talking about your father and telling me a story about your father and growing up with him, I wouldn't refer to him as your dad, because now I'm changing it. Because for you, father may have a different meaning than dad. So I'm not going to change the pronouns, change the specific, you know, key words that you're using, because every time I do that, it shoves a wedge in between you and I. Mm. Because, Brian, if I change it from father to dad, you're going to think, he's not listening. He's not picking up on what I'm expressing in that moment. And you may have something else linked to your dad. It could be stepdad or whoever, right? Or you may have a bad connotation with one version of those words. So I'm not going to change the language when I, you know, hear that. I will make it a point to use the exact words that other people are using. Again, we are more alike, you know, building that rapport. And a little trick for those of you that tend to phase out at the end when someone's going on for a little while, like I have been the last couple of minutes. If you repeat the last 2 to 3 words of what someone said and have them refresh it or go into more detail. And it could be as easy as that. Go into more detail. Literally just repeating the last 2 to 3 words that someone just said will help them to expand on it. In a way, you're almost asking a question. You're asking for clarification, but you're also rephrasing it to them, again, using the same exact verbiage. And it's like, oh, what do I mean going into more detail? I mean, you know, I'm going to explain it more thoroughly. I'm going to go down, you know, the list here, whatever it may be. So especially the guys, when you get toned out and you're not paying attention, and your wife asks you what you just said, just throw back at the last 2 to 3 words.
Give me your keys here, guys. We're trying to help you out.
And just have her kind of hopefully she'll repeat it, you know, and clarify what she's talking about, because there's a lot of times that we aren't on the same page. When I'm like, hey, Brian, can you hand me that binder? And there's books and there's folders everywhere. And I'm like, that binder? And you're like, yeah, that yellow one right there with the spirals. Perfect. Great. I didn't ask you for clarification. All I said was that binder, question mark. And you clarified more because we weren't clear on what that meant. So it's another way to get to someone to re-clarify something, to restate something, or to go into more detail on the topic of conversation.
So good. And you were not going on. I believe that to me, that was really breaking down, because on this podcast, we love to give tangible steps that people can go do their DD on, their due diligence and research on their own, or go put things into practice. Like, oh, I can go do that now. Or my wife or husband just said that, whatever, and be a better communicator. For me, I want to know, really, we can put this towards the end, but I want to know, you talk about mental fortitude, and when I put in my process, if us as coaches, our clients or people are asking us, why am I not manifesting what I want? Like, why isn't it happening? And my energy is drained and my confidence is down. And you revert back to this mental fortitude, this willpower. How would you describe that? Or how do you help men or women that are listening right now kind of build that willpower out up by routines that they do? Or maybe you can even explain, like, how you, when you get down, how do you get back on the horse really quick?
Yeah, it's a couple different things for me. One of my other main values that I talk about is integrity. And I believe that a lack of integrity is contagious, because if the way you do one thing in your life can bleed over into all other aspects. And one thing that we tend to lack is integrity to ourselves. And I drill this into my clients, because everything I say I'm going to do, I'm going to do it. Because if I don't, then what else is going to not get accomplished? Like if Brian, because I told you I'm going to be here today at this time for our podcast. If I didn't show up, then maybe tomorrow I miss another appointment. Or I don't make it to the gym. And it's like, and then what starts playing in the background, that ego is like, okay, so anything we say, we don't follow through with, you know, we start to undermine ourselves, and it creeps into other areas of your life. So first thing is holding yourself accountable. If you tell someone you're going to do something, you better damn do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this goes into, or really it goes hand in hand with being okay saying no to certain things. Okay. Because you can only do so many things in a day. I know there's people out there saying I hustle from 4 a.m. to 2 a.m. and I get 2 hours. No, there is a finite number of things that you can fit into a 24-hour period, sleeping one of them, okay, eating, you know, all this other stuff that we have to do every day. And so you have to say no to certain things, because if you say yes to everything, what happens? You can't get to everything, or, you know, something falls off and then you hurt someone's feelings. You know, back out of an appointment or a party or a meeting. You have to look at your schedule realistically and go, no, I can't do this, and not feel bad about it, and just own that and go, no, that's not going to fit into my schedule today. Or no, I don't want to do that. Yep. And how rare is that to hear? If someone's like, hey, you want to go, you know, grab something to eat later? No, I don't want to. Oh, and you really don't need any reason for it. Now, the person may ask. Yeah. So you'd be like, you know, I don't feel like I want to stay home today and cook a healthy meal. I don't feel like eating that. Okay. And hopefully the person can respect it. If not, oh, well. Mm-hmm. But you're being true to yourself. You have to have integrity to yourself first, because that person is not holding you accountable to the things you have to do in your life.
Yeah.
And I know that this gets overused, but it's the analogy of being on a plane and they tell you to put your mask on first before you help the person next to you, because you cannot help anyone else do anything unless you are being taken care of. Mm-hmm. And this goes for parents as well. Like it's tough, and I get it. And you don't want to admit that, you know, hey, I need something because my kids are there too. But if you aren't giving yourself 100%, you're not going to have anything to give to your kids, or you're going to give it to them in a way that it's not, you know, being effective. And maybe they're getting the message wrong, because it's like, why is mom and dad upset when they tell me to clean my room or to help me with my homework? It's because you yourself are not being taken care of. Either you're hungry, you're tired, you're run down, you're low energy, you know, you just got too many things going on. So you have to take care of yourself first. So I think that's the first step to the answer.
Yeah.
There's always so many levels. So there's never a quick answer to anything. I wish there was, Brian. I know that's what people want out there. But
I know, but that's why they have people like you and myself, is to reach out to and say, hey, I want to know more information about Confidence Unchained, right?
Sure.
So it's amazing, because I love your three pillars, and it talks about that in the emotional fortitude, the mental, remind me of what it was one more time. It was the mental...
Yeah, mental toughness, mental emotional toughness, fortitude, and health awareness. The emotional fortitude, that one, I define that as your ability to quickly recover from setbacks, disappointments, and failures.
Yeah.
Because most of the, and we talked a lot about the emotional side up front, but that's really an area that I see people struggling with the most, because every time we deal with a setback, disappointment, failure, because you will deal with that in your life. You cannot avoid it unless you're just a hermit living in the cave in the woods. But so you will deal with that stuff. So the faster you can get back to functioning as a normal person, you can be more effective. You can be more productive. You can be a happier person, rather than wallowing in your own misery that you just replay over and over again in your head. And you're like, oh, I'm so sad. I'm so depressed. I'm this. Now, I'm not including people that do have mental illness that have that. That is not what I'm saying. But a healthy individual that has the ability to get themselves out of that mood, that state.
Yeah.
Sometimes we sit in it longer than we should, because it makes us feel vindicated. I'm just going to be sad all day long. I'm going to be mad for a week. What use is that? That is crap.
Yeah. And in reality, it's so cool. It's interesting that you brought that, as no offense to anyone listening, but really this is for you to be aware of, that no one cares. Society is, no one cares. You're saying that, you know, I'm tired. I'm just had a bad day. No one cares. So life is going to move on. And I'm so glad that you brought that up, because what I tell my clients or anyone on this podcast listening, you may have heard, is that, you know, people ask for like, how do you have time for this? How are you so productive? How are you so efficient? This came with me not being that before, right? For people that are doing it well, it's the awareness that you were doing it and the understanding that if I take control of what I feel in that moment and able to handle it quicker than the next person, I've just elicited more time in my day or my week. Yes. People said they had whole bad weeks. I'm like, you've had a whole bad week? So you haven't been able to handle things a whole week.
That's a choice. That is a choice to have a whole bad week.
Yes.
I mean, I get it. If you know you have a close family member die, you're going to have those emotions come up for a while. But to purposely have a whole bad week, or I don't want to hear people's story. If you get cut off in the morning on the way to work at 7 a.m. and you're still talking about that at 4 p.m., shut up. Like, why are you letting that guy live in your head rent-free for the rest of the day when he made it to work and was like, dude, not thinking about you anymore, but you're thinking about this person all day long. Mm. And that.
Yeah, I know.
Doesn't lead to anything good.
No, I'm so glad that came up, because I believe someone needs to hear that today, whether they're watching or listening to this, is that how do I create more time? How do I become more efficient? How do I become more happy in my life? I'd love to know maybe a client that you can think of in your mind that exemplified this through their story that may could resonate with somebody here listening or watching that says, you know, what does that look like for somebody? You know, if they came to you this way, you did these steps and they had this aha moment, like, Justin, yes, I see it, I'm doing it, and I'm seeing this manifestation of what I actually wanted.
The favorite story that I love to share as a client success is I had a guy come to me who was a business owner, and he came to me with the idea he wanted to learn how to interact with his employees better. He felt like he wasn't being like the alpha male, like maybe he was getting kind of bullied by his own employees at work. Yeah. And so we started working on some different things, working on the emotional matrix. And I think it was 2 to 3 weeks after we started working together, he calls me one day. He's like, I got to tell you what happened, you know, this weekend. I'm like, all right, man, go ahead. He said, I was cooking breakfast for the family, his wife and daughters. And while he's cooking breakfast, he said he hit his head on the vent above his stove. And he said he hit it hard. Like it was bad. Like he was like, man, he said normally like he would throw a fit. If something like that happened, he'd like maybe throw the pan across the room, punch the wall, like just lose it. And so he looked over at his wife and kids and they were all bracing for the storm. They're like, here goes dad again. Crap. He hit it. Like they were waiting for it. Right. So he said he walked over to the wall. He pretended to punch the wall, and then he went back to cooking. And he said his wife walked over and was like, hang on a minute. This isn't the man I'm used to. What's going on here? And he's like, I'm done pretending. He's like, all that stuff I used to do, those like fits I would throw, just getting upset and being mad for minutes, hours, days. He's like, that was all bull crap. He's like, I'm done doing that. He's like, I know how to process it out. I want to be more effective, you know, in my life. And he said, like, his wife gave him a hug. Like his daughters came up and hugged him. They're like, oh, great. Dad's not throwing a fit, right?
Yeah.
And my favorite part, he said, you know, after that, like his wife would bug him and be like, hey, when are you getting on a call with Justin again? We need to keep this up. I like this new version we got going on. So even his wife was behind the idea. She's like, I like this change that I've seen in you. And it just goes to show that there is no dividing line between your business and personal life.
Exactly.
We like to lie to ourselves and say that there is. You know, this man came to me to work on his business life. And he ended up changing his whole life, which included the relationships with his wife and his daughter. So that's my favorite story to share for some good change.
So powerful. So powerful. I'm intrigued to hear how you came about with Confidence Unchained, right? like you had this vision of being this protector, this provider, and you went into law enforcement for maybe those reasons, whatever they were, a little bit more detailed and granular, but there was this pivotal moment. And I love to talk about this with any of my guests, is especially if they've pivoted or transitioned.
Sure.
What was that pivotal moment to say, I've got more to give to the world, and this is where I can't serve anymore. I'm serving over here now.
Yeah. I think what it was for me is there was a huge identity shift.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think this happens quite a lot, is that we end up attaching our identity to our career. And it happens because what is the first question that we ask when we meet someone? Oh, what do you do? Oh, I'm this. Oh, what do you do? I'm a lawyer. I'm a doctor. So we literally attach our identity to our chosen career or job. And I had done the same. And this happened several years ago. So I was forced to resign from the first agency I worked with because of alleged insubordination.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't see eye to eye on an issue. And there was a process where I was forced to resign. And in those months in between, you know, that job and my next agency that I went to work for, I had this huge identity crisis. I was like, what am I going to do? Like, I've only been a police officer. Like, there's nothing else I'm going to be able to do. Like, what? Like, I was freaking out because I was like, I am a police officer. Like, that's how I referred to myself. I'm like, that is me. That is my identity. And then there was like this light bulb that came on, was like, hang on a second. I'm like, look at all the skill sets that I've gathered along the way. Look at what I can accomplish if I put my mind to it. And I sat there and I was like, I can do whatever the hell I want. And I'm like, I will be okay even if I'm never a police officer again. Now, luckily, within a few months, I did have another job and, you know, did some great things with that agency as well. But I almost came at the job from a different angle at that point, because I'm like, I was looking at the bigger picture and I didn't have any attachment to it. I was like, I'm going to make this place as great as I can before I move on. And I'm not attached to the outcome. I'm just like, I'm here. I'm going to share all this information. Like, how can I not share this information?
Yeah.
Like, I look at myself like 10 years ago and I'm like, I wish someone would have come up to me with this information and slapped me upside the head and be like, hey, look, dummy, look what you're doing.
Yeah.
Here is a path to success. Here is a path to happiness and, you know, integrity, authenticity, you know, honesty, all of this stuff. And I would have avoided a lot of hardships if I would have had all this stuff. And so now for me, it almost feels like an obligation to pass this on to as many people as I can. Because I've made a commitment to myself throughout this process that I'm committed to inspiring others and helping them discover their limitless possibilities.
Amazing. Amazing. Kind of a final question. It's more of a personal question for me, because I'm so intrigued by the art of communication. As you know, we're hosting rooms, we're having these conversations, and I don't think it's studied. I really, truly don't believe people know how to communicate effectively. But really, from your perspective, and maybe this is getting a little bit too detailed or whatnot, so hey, you can answer as honestly as possible. With your background in law enforcement, where have you, now that you remove yourself, where have you seen that communication needs to be included in law enforcement, maybe a little bit more from a human psychology standpoint? Because obviously, I always remove myself sometimes and think of the listenership. And some listeners might be saying, or watchers, like, Brian, you have not only this entrepreneur, this person that is teaching confidence, but he did have former training in law enforcement, and it seems like he's a good communicator. So how can we have more guys like Justin being the protectors and providers and people that people can trust, right?
Sure.
So where do you think that needs to be included more? Did you see barriers here or there, or whatever you can speak to?
So as far as the communication aspect, because in the classes that we teach, we focus more on either the leadership roles or the interview roles. Because I still help teach classes to law enforcement.
Okay.
And the people that I work with, we're trying to get it worked into the police academies. They're actually out in Florida, and they're trying to get this emotional intelligence communication skills into the public school system. And so they were working on that before COVID hit. So it's looking good. So it's something that everyone needs, because these emotional intelligence skills are not being taught anywhere. So, but I think it should start in the school systems or with the parents. But if we're talking strictly law enforcement, I think that it should be in the academies, because everything that we do is about communication. And having this open communication, learning to build rapport with people, like having them give us truthful, detailed, accurate information. That's what the job's about. I just helped write up some different training briefs on this, you know, type of information. One of the things I talk about, and I think we may have mentioned it in Clubhouse, but staying away from asking why. Like, I never ask why. Because it triggers this emotional response in people. And so I actually crafted a training brief and made it a point. Because what's the standard? What we can ask question, who, what, when, where, why, how, right? I'm like, do not ask why. Take it out, because all it does is trigger people to be defensive. So it would be like me asking, why did you wear that shirt today, Brian? You know, it's like, oh, well, dang, does he not like what I wore today? Like, is it the color? Rather than saying, well, how did you choose your outfit today? Or what made you wear that today? It lands differently. Rather than asking why, it's how and what. So I think that it should be more widely taught. We're doing our best. The company I work with is called Proactive Leader. And we're doing our best to give it to as many agencies as we can to spread that, because the feedback that we get from people that go to these classes, and we teach, you know, a 3-day class up to a 5-day class, so a 40-hour, you know, class for some of these trainings, the impact is immense. And it does transfer home. You know, these guys come back and go, man, I'm using it with my kids, I'm using it with my wife. So these skills are completely transferable. And I think it would benefit anyone in any profession, you know, any race, age, culture. Like, these are universal skills that every person should have. I'm already teaching them to my 9-year-old, so don't tell me kids are too young. She's learning it for years already, so she's going to be a little badass when she grows up and be able to handle anything that's thrown at her. So everyone should have these skills. They're ultimately important.
No, I love that answer. I appreciate you answering that, because it's just so important, imperative to me now, that how can we spread that knowledge to more people? And it comes back ultimately to those self-awareness skill sets of understanding who self is, how can you manage self, then how you can be more conducive, productive to society in bettering whatever the situation, managing situations and conflict ultimately that you can. Justin, thank you so much for being here. Appreciate you. If you would tell people where they can find you right now, and any lasting words, and I have one final question that I always ask any guests as well. So just share with people right now where they can find you and what you maybe have new coming up.
Sure. Yeah. So the best way to get a hold of me is most likely on my website, confidenceunchained.com. As you know, Brian, the summit is going to be the end of the month, February 25th through the 27th. It's an amazing 3-day virtual event that we're putting on with a lot of amazing speakers. You can find that at summit.confidenceunchained.com. I'm also on Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook, and you can either find me under Confidence Unchained or my name, Justin Atherton. But those are the best ways to reach out to me.
Love it. Love it. Love it. So everything that Justin said will be down the show notes, everybody. If you're watching this, if we release this video footage, thank you so much for being here as well. Make sure that you go ahead and follow the Evolve You podcast. Make sure you go like and follow Justin as well. Say, hey, I came over from the podcast and I heard you, and it was amazing value that you gave. Show him some love. And one final question I always ask my guests is, how are you evolving right now?
How am I evolving? Man, it's staying in the mindset of being productive versus busy. Mm-hmm. There are so many things going on right now that I love the distinction between being busy and productive. And so I have to constantly remind myself that it's different, because I just want to say busy because some of the stuff is just not enjoyable. But it's like, no, I'm being productive. It all has a purpose. So I will stay in that mindset of like, I'm continuing to grow, because busy is a stagnant place to be. It's like, oh, I'm just messing around here in the middle, not accomplishing. But I know I'm being productive. There's more stuff coming. These tough tasks that we have to push through sometimes are building blocks for other things down the road. So for me personally, it's staying in the productive mindset.
Love it. Love it. Thank you guys so much for listening to this or watching this. If you do like it, please go ahead and like, share, subscribe in some way, and we will see you all in the next episode.